This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, not long ago, we found out that Britain is one of the least nature-connected countries in the world, which is really concerning when you think about all of the scientifically proven benefits to our physical and mental health that being connected to nature has been shown to give. And one opportunity that many of us in Hertfordshire take to connect with nature is a walk around our local park. Perhaps somewhere like Fairlands Valley Park, Cassiobury Park, or Verulamium Park in St Albans. Now, it was national news back in April when the Friends of Verulamium Park decided to relaunch with a hugely popular public meeting. They explained how the park and the river bed that runs through it could be so much better for people and for wildlife, a better place to connect with nature. But our help was needed to make these changes happen. Well, these changes are happening and your help is needed. The newest area of Verulamium Park, the former Abbey View Golf Course, is getting a makeover. The Friends of Verulamium Park, along with St Albans District Council, their project managers, the Countryside Management Service and their contractors are carefully working to move the area from being an old golf course to being a new place for nature and people to thrive and connect. To find out more, I spoke to Friend of Verulamium Park and Butterfly Conservation Representative Malcolm Hull, and I started by asking him to remind us where this tucked away site is.
The golf course was behind the athletics track, so it goes up the hill above the Westminster Lodge Leisure Centre. It's next to St Columba's College, goes up as far as King Harry Lane, and then on the far side it runs over to the path that goes along by the causeway and up to King Harry Lane that way. So it's that section of the park. It was a bit tucked away, but it's now being brought back into use as a mainstream part of the park.
Now, I suppose a golf course is by its nature, it's grass and slightly longer grass and shrubs and usually trees. So I just wondered what the problem is with how a golf course like this is managed that means that it doesn't quite fulfil its potential for wildlife.
Well, I think in some ways golf courses can be very good wildlife places, but it does depend a lot on management. The main fairways and greens and tees of the golf course are all mown a good deal. You know, mown grass is far less beneficial for wildlife than allowing long grass to grow. So when golf courses are in action as golf courses, then a lot of the grass isn't of much use. Some of them have like long grassy areas down beside the fairways, although this one didn't because it was a very tight site. So it was designed with very tall trees up against cut grass. Now, the interventions that have been decided on, and this is after 2 years of monitoring what's happened after it closed, is that the grass has grown back and been left to grow long during the summer. It's had the summer meadow cuts, which is typical of many of the wildflower plots established in St Albans, but with some nice wide grassy paths mown through it so people can still get in and enjoy it. But what we've noticed is that there's very few wildflowers come. The nature of the grass and golf course is pretty uniform and not many wildflower species in it. So the first intervention that's going to take place, so has in fact already taken place, is there's wildflower seedings being done. And there's five different areas on the course and total about half an acre. The wildflower seeding mix was put in. The species in there, 27 different wildflower species, which will be good for a wide variety of bees and butterflies. It's a special pollinator mix that's been used, and it includes yellow rattle, the meadow maker plant, which is vital to establishing most meadows in this area. So that's what's been done already. And then the second area that's going to be looked at are the bushes and trees.
And what do you have planned there? And I'm also thinking about, I know that previous attempts to plant trees in the main part of Verulamine Park have been halted by archaeological concerns. Have those been a problem for you as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I should make clear it's not my project. It's a project that's being run by St Albans District Council as the owners of the site, and they're using Countryside Management Service as their project managers. The wildflower seed planting has been done by Maidencroft as a contractor. So that's the way it's being run. But yeah, archaeology is a huge issue, and Countryside Management Service have been in discussions with Historic England about what's important. I mean, this part of the park is all outside the old Roman city, so it's less sensitive. It's not part of what they call the scheduled ancient monument site, which is what's prevented tree planting elsewhere.
It does have the course of an old Roman road going
through it,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And the planting scheme that's been designed is designed in a way that so it doesn't plant anything that's near to the line of the Roman road. I think the Roman road has already been excavated quite a bit and the line of it is established, but there may well be future excavations. And that, in fact, quite a lot of the golf course tree planting already goes across the road. So. But there's no new trees are going to go on the road, and other areas weren't deemed sensitive enough to prevent the plant. But the wildflower seeding is very shallow, and the planting that we're doing with trees is going to be just whips. So it will be a spade in the ground, but a very small hole. So it's not going to be fully mature trees or anything that taller trees that are being planted. It's fairly light.
So what kind of trees will you be planting then? Are there any particular species?
Yeah, we've had discussions with the CMS and alighted on a list of 15 different species. Most of them have been chosen are actually sort of shrubs or bushes rather than tall trees. There are a few oaks and birches which will grow quite high, but a lot of the trees are smaller ones. Holly, buckthorn, rowan, spindle, wild privet. Yeah, all things that are often used in hedges and even if they grow to full height, won't be anywhere near the height of a fully grown oak tree. And that's really for two main reasons, one of which is we're just trying to soften the edge of the wood so you don't get 60-foot trees next to grass, which is not great from a wildlife point of view. Yeah, there are some brilliant, well-contoured woodland edges on the site, but they tend to be on the outside around the old hedge lines, whereas all the trees in the middle have been really crammed in to try and make as many golf course holes as possible on a relatively small site. So they've grown over the years to be very tall, and it's softening those edges. So it's the most of the planting's in the central area around the edges, and there's a plan which has been displayed on the site which shows exactly where things are going. But I suppose the second consideration of having low plants is we don't want to disturb any of the excellent views of the abbey from the golf course, and that's been a central part of the plans, is to avoid the main views down the fairway next to St Columba's School. There's no tree planting going in there at all. The other fairway at the far end by the Roman ditch, there will be a little bit of tree planting, but we've agreed with CMS that their previous plans modified so that there'll be no impact on the views at all. And I think we're going to mark it out on the ground before the contractors get going on that section. We'll take care of that.
And I mean, people love walking around here now, don't they? It's a very popular area for walking the dog and that sort of thing. And also popular with park runners, huge park run in Verulamine Park that runs around the old golf course. Have you taken into account the routes that walkers and runners use, and will they be part of the future plans, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, CMS have very much taken that into account in the plan they've drawn up. And I think trying to make it a part of the park which is more accessible to people than it has been in the past, but also better for wildlife, does involve making compromises. But I think the grass paths which have been mown by the council's contractors through the meadows in the last few years will be maintained. We're not looking at changing the lines of any of those, so the existing walking, running routes will still be there, and they're fairly wide and fairly generous. there's plenty of other areas for the planting and the wildlife to go without impacting on those areas which people are using. Yeah, and that's really what we want, is something where, you know, people can get more access to nature, but also nature can be doing well, so people can enjoy it. But there's no point having an area people can get to for nature if there's no nature there, and there's no point having lots of nature in a public park if people can't see it. So it's getting the right balance, and there's always a line to be drawn. And we're trying to, as the Friends of Verulamium Park Group, we're trying very hard to be friends to all the users, as well as the owners and managers of the park, and to find the best solutions for, you know, every area.
Well, that's true. And as you say, there's always going to be a lot of balancing going on there. You've explained the sort of additions that you've done, you know, wildflower seed, new trees, new shrubs. But of course, as you've said, one of the reasons why old golf courses are not necessarily so great for wildlife is the way that they're managed. So how will you make sure that this area is managed in a way that's best for wildlife? Things like the mowing regimes for the grass, you've got different regimes for different areas. Why is that then? How will that improve things?
Well, I think what will happen is that the main parts of the site will go into summer meadow management, which is what they use for the other meadows in Verulamium Park. So they will be subject to a single cut and collect at the end of each summer. You know, the collect is important because it helps remove nutrients from the soil. During the grass growing season, the paths will be mown on a much more regular basis. And O'Connor's, the council contractors, are in the park pretty much every day, so they're very well placed to make sure that the grass is mown when it needs to be. Although, frankly, when there's lots of people walking on it, they may not need mowing that much. But when they do, they will be mown. There's some areas that you see on the plan which are for long grass, and that's because although, you know, lots of butterflies and bees and things like wildflower meadows, and the best management for wildflower meadows is to have them cut each year, there are other creatures which like to overwinter in long grass. I mean, some of our butterflies, things like frogs, quite a lot of creatures will overwinter in long grass. So although we're managing the main part of it as summer meadow, we're leaving parts of it as long grass areas to help different types of creature. And, you know, hopefully by doing that, we will get more biodiversity on the site overall. You know, most of the species that have been chosen for the trees and the wildflowers are ones that aren't currently found on the site. So we will be getting a lot more diversity of plants. And that's a good basis for getting a better diversity of animals as well. We know there's over 400 species of plants and animals in the park already. And as Friends of the Park Group, one of our objectives is to do further recording, because we're pretty sure there's quite a lot more creatures living there that we don't know about yet. But they're probably the harder ones to find.
Yeah, indeed. So you will be monitoring the effect of what you've done. You'll be checking on what wildlife there is. As you say, you've been monitoring in the past couple of years, but you'll continue that monitoring to see how wildlife is responding to the changes that you're making.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing butterfly recording over the site for the last couple of years. Yeah, butterflies are a very good way of telling how how the environment's responding to change. And they're very visible and much easier to spot and count than a lot of other insect groups. So, yeah, we've got some good baselines from both when it was just a golf course to when it's been abandoned with long grass. But we're expecting to see a big increase. I mean, as you know, with my Wilder St Albans butterfly conservation hat on, I've been running a scheme across St Albans to monitor all the other Lomo and wildflower plots the council have been putting in place over the last 5 years, and the results of that are showing that the average numbers of butterflies per count has gone up more than four times what it was in the first year. So I'm expecting the same here. So yeah, we should be seeing a big increase in numbers, and hopefully more diversity of species as well, by having introduced a better range of wildflower plants. You know, probably all these plants would have been there originally. It's just they've all been eradicated by process of turning it first into a farm and then into a golf course.
Yes. I mean, that all sounds very positive. I just wondered whether there was any species in particular that you hope will, well, either visit or return to the site.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the shrubs we've selected are particular species that, you know, most butterflies are dependent on just one or two species. I mean, we've got buckthorn, an older buckthorn, which is encourages the brimstone butterfly, which is present in the park, but it is very low numbers. We want to put in some more elm trees. There are some elm suckers already on this site, which support a colony of white-letter hairstreak butterflies. You know, they're pretty endangered. It's a rare butterfly because the elm trees always die when they get to a certain height. So the idea is to include disease-resistant elm in the planting, which will hopefully provide a better long-term home for the butterfly. We're too late to actually get it. You know, they're quite difficult to purchase. So we're too late to buy any this year, but we're hoping that that will follow on next year, because we'll, you know, I don't see it as a one-off. We'll be doing, you know, maintenance and looking at how the meadows develop and responding. And one thing I did want to say was that although the council's budget's extended to employing contractors to do some of the work, we're also counting on volunteers to help with some of the bush and tree planting. So I've organised two sessions on the, I think, Monday the 24th and Saturday the 6th of December, when the Friends of Verulamium Park will be running volunteer sessions to do tree planting on the site. So it would be really great if anyone's listening that would fancy coming along and helping. Perhaps I'll give you a contact email. Amanda, you can put in your chat afterwards so people know how to contact me. But it's we provide all the tools and all the training that's needed. Not that it needs a lot of training, but it would be really great to get people coming along and helping the Friends group out.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I can certainly attest to the fact that it is lovely to have the opportunity to plant trees and then return in the months and years to come to see how the planting that you've done has developed into, well, some beautiful new woodland. So yeah, I'm sure that'd be a really lovely thing for people to come and do. Well, Malcolm, you know, it sounds like there's exciting things happening in Verulamium Park, not just for wildlife, but hopefully also some beautiful things for people to come and see as well. Thank you so much for telling us about those today. And well, we'll look forward to having you back to update us with all the lovely things that come to visit your improved golf course area in the future.
Great. Thanks, Amanda.
I was talking there to Friend of Verulamium Park and Butterfly Conservation Representative Malcolm Hull. Now, as Malcolm said, you can go and join in the rewarding task of planting trees on the Old Abbeyview Golf Course site on Monday the 24th of November or Saturday the 6th of December. And I'll make sure I put the link so that you can book your place there into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.